بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected friends and elders, during the month of Ramadan, a person gets time to reflect and ponder over his life through the barakat of the fast and the other ibadat we carry out. The soul becomes cleansed to an extent. And it is an ideal time actually for us to reflect on our akhirat. It's an ideal time for us to reflect on the ultimate purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this dunya. Whoever came into this world, respected friends and elders, had to leave this dunya. Mouth and death is a reality. When the soul is starved, then it becomes easier for one to take effect. It's easier for a person to attain some sort of reformation. Therefore, a fundamental part of our Ramadan should be spent in pondering over death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this phenomenon many times in Quran. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُّمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you may be, death will get you. Death will come to you. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will leave this dunya, you will die and they will also die. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah is the one who created death and life. When Allah speaks about life and death, Allah mentions death first. In the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, there are many reminders of death. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually advised the ummah, أكثروا ذكر هازم اللذات الموت. That frequently remember that reality, that thing which cuts off all lazat and all enjoyments, and that is death. Frequently, أكثروا ذكر. Remember death a lot and abundantly. Many ulama prescribe that a person should ponder over death daily. We should ponder about our death. We should make muraqabah of maut. Ideally, before going to bed at night, think that if death had to come to us in this condition, what is our condition? Think if we had to go into the qabr now and the angels had to come and question us, what would be our answer? What is in the heart? Think if we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular condition, What will be the result? Pondering over death, respected friends and elders, is a great form of reformation. It's a very, very effective way of bringing a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creating this awareness of akhirat, and then preparing for akhirat. So whoever came in this dunya had to leave this dunya. In fact, there's an incident in the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He wanted to know, one day he had the shauq and the enthusiasm, the eagerness to see who is the oldest man in his kingdom. So they found one person from the village who was 250 years old. When they called him by Sayyidina Muawiyah, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu asks him, tell me, I mean, you're so long in this dunya, what have you seen? So he said, you know what, it's all the same thing. Whether you live for a short while or a long while, it's the same thing that happens in the dunya. يَمُوتُ مَيِّتْ وَيُولَدُ مَوْلُودُ. The cycle continues. Every day somebody is born, every day somebody dies. And then he said a very unique thing. He says, لَوْلَا مَيْ يَمُوتْ لَمَا وَسِعَهُمُ الْأَرْضِ. If it wasn't for those who were dying, if the cycle of death was not there, then there'll be no place on earth. So to make place, some people have to die. And وَلَوْلَا مَيْ يُولَدْ لَمَا بَقِيَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٍ. And if it wasn't for those coming into the dunya, those who are being born, then there would be nobody left on earth. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People come and go and it has to happen like that. But respected friends and elders, the coming in this dunya is for going. In Arabic they say, لِدُوا لِلْمَوْتِ. Give birth so that the child may die. Ultimately, why are you giving birth? Why is the child coming into the dunya? Ultimately it is so that he may leave this dunya. Our entire life in this world, respected friends and elders, is to prepare for leaving the world. not for remaining in the world. The system of the West, the circular system, the capitalist system, all focuses about preparing for where you are now, preparing for remaining on earth, but nobody ever remained. And the Islamic way, the way of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is for us to prepare for after death. Our whole life is a preparation firstly for that last moment when Malakul Maut will present himself in front of us. When death will stare a person in the face, our whole life is a preparation for that moment. How we lead our life will count at that time, respected friends and elders. How we lead our lives, that's how Maut and death will come to us. Like we say in English, you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. So how we live in this world, that's how Maut will come. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, the famous muhaddith, the author of the famous kitab, Sahih Muslim, spent his life in the study of hadith, acquisition of hadith, the compilation of hadith, and the imparting of the Mubarak hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until today, Imam Muslim rahimahullah passed away in the year 261 Hijri. Approximately 1200 years ago. 1180 years ago, he passed away. Till today, his kitab is considered the second most authentic book after Quran. The second most authentic book authored by man, the first being Bukhari Sharif, and the second is Muslim Sharif. Imam Muslim rahimahullah led his life like that. How did Maut come to him? How did death come to him? It is said that one day somebody asked him a question. Somebody asked him about a particular hadith which he was unaware of. When he came back home that night, then he told them that nobody should disturb me, and he goes into his study or his library. He locks the door. The people in the home tell him that somebody gave us a basket of dates as hadiah. He says, okay, send it in. And they sent that basket of dates, and Imam Muslim rahimahullah spent that entire night searching for the hadith that he was unaware of. Searching and searching and opening the different books. And as he was doing that, he was consuming the dates, one by one. So unknowingly, he ate up all the dates, all that was there in that basket. By the morning he found the hadith, but he became extremely ill and then he passed away. He passed away searching for hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spent his life in that field, Allah gave him Maut in that field. So many people we hear, respected friends and elders, they gave so much of time out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to go out 4 months every year, or for whatever amount of time, and mashallah, every now and then he's out in the path of Allah. His death also came in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, on the other hand, you may find some through Allah's hikmat, despite them spending so much of time in the path of Allah. Allah gave them Maut at home. That is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But like you will lead our lives, respected friends and elders, lead a life of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maut will come in a pleasant manner. Imam Abu Zur'a Razi rahimahullah, a famous muhaddith, a great muhaddith of his time, a very, very senior muhaddith. In fact, such a senior muhaddith, Imam Muslim, who we have just been speaking about, after he wrote his Muslim Sharif, he showed it to Imam Abu Zur'a. He took it to him for endorsement. That was the rank and the level of Imam Abu Zur'a Razi rahimahullah. He memorized hundreds of thousands of ahadith. As an example to know how many hadith, one day somebody came to him and said, "Oh Imam, I don't know what happened to me, but I got angry with my wife, and then I took an oath of talaq. I took an oath of talaq that you are divorced if Abu Zur'a Razi doesn't know 300,000 hadith." Now what's his marriage got to do with Abu Zur'a's memory? But his mind went like that. So he came and said, "Oh Imam, now I'm in a predicament. I don't know if you know that amount of hadith, and if you don't know it, then my wife is divorced." So Abu Zur'a Razi rahimahullah tells him, "Continue enjoying your wife. Alhamdulillah, I know 300,000 hadith by heart." 300,000 hadiths. So he was also a giant in this field, respected friends and elders. When he was about to pass away, ulama explained that there were other muhaddithun, students of his, colleagues of his sitting there. But he was the senior. He was the giant in the field. Among those who were seated were muhaddithun like Ibn Warah rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hatim rahimahullah. They were seated there. Now we are taught in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When those among you who are about to pass away, then remind them, make them recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. Make talqeen. So if we find ourselves in a place where somebody is about to pass away, then we should try and make him recite the kalima. The adab and etiquette is not to ask him directly. Don't tell him, brother, read the kalima. His state of mind at that time, we do not know how stable it is. He might say, no, I don't want to read, not understanding what you are telling him. So the best way to make a dying man recite kalima is to read the kalima yourself audibly in front of him. Recite La ilaha illallah, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Recite it audibly, so then he gets the message. But these people who were seated here said, how do we remind such a great man? I mean, it's like disrespectful. How do we tell him, Imam, read the kalima? Or how do we make talqeen? How do we make him recite the kalima? So then they said, let us discuss the chain of narrations for that hadith. Let us discuss the chain of narration. So Ibn Wara rahimahullah mentions the chain. He says, حدثني أبو عاصم قال حدثني عبد الحميد المجعفر عن صالح. I got this hadith from my ustad Abu Asim. And he said he got this hadith from his ustad Abd al-Hamid. And he said he got this hadith from his ustad Salih. And he stopped there. This is halfway the chain. Then the second muhaddith who was seated, Imam Abu Hatim rahimahullah, he began to mention his chain for the hadith. He said, حدثني بندار. My ustad by the name of Bundar gave me the hadith. And he got it from your ustad Abu Asim, who got it from Abdul Hamid, who got it from Salih. And again he stopped. When they did this in front of Imam Abu Zur'ah, who is about to pass away, he got the message. He understood which hadith they were referring to. So then he too said, I got this hadith from Bundar, who got it from Abu Asim, who got it from Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far, who got it from Salih ibn Abi Urayd. And then he continues further. This is the point where the other two stopped. He says, and that Ustad Salih ibn Abi Urayd got it from Kathir ibn Murra. And he got the hadith from Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. That person whose last words are la ilaha illallah. The hadith says, Dakhal al Jannah, he will enter Jannah. One version of the story says, when Abu Zur'ah came to this spot, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all he said was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever's last words are, la ilaha illallah, and he passed away. Ulama say he made amal of the first part of the hadith verbally, and the second part, dakhal al jannah, inshallah, practically he made amal on that. His last words were, la ilaha illallah. You live by the sword, you will die by the sword, respected friends and elders. Our entire life is a preparation for that time. How a man led his life, that defines the last moment. That defines the time when he's going to leave this dunya. And thereafter what follows? The life in the qabr, life in barzakh, the life on the day of qiyamah, the condition on the day of qiyamah, and thereafter to jannat or jahannam, Allah grant us all jannatul firdaus. But that is all defined by how we spend our lives in this dunya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. That person who will love to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. Waman kariha liqa' Allah, kariha Allahu liqa'ahu. That person who dislikes to meet Allah, that person who doesn't want to meet Allah, Allah also dislikes meeting him. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha said, I said, Ya Nabi Allah, who of us doesn't like to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We all want to meet Allah on one hand. On the other hand, we have to die. We all have a natural dislike for death. Does it mean we dislike to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, it is not like how you are understanding. What this refers to is in the last moment, when death is in front of someone. إِذَا حَشْرَجَ الصَّدْرِ وَقْشَعَرَّ الْجِلْ. At the time when the chest begins to pump, when the hair stands, in other words, at the time when a man is about to pass away, at that time, عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ, at that moment, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. That person who loves to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet him. And who hates meeting Allah, Allah hates meeting him. How does a person like to meet Allah at that time? Ulama explained in the light of ahadith, that when a person is about to pass away, what happens? In those last moments, what awaits him in the akhirah is shown to him. If he is a good person, then Malakul Maut also comes in a good condition. And he is shown his good abode and the comforts of Akhirah. And then his soul comes out quickly. His soul wants to leave. At that time he wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a person is a disobedient slave, when he never lived a life of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sinner and a kafir, etc., when they are about to die, Malakul Maut comes in a very frightening condition. Who wants to go with a frightening man? And what is shown to him is the terrors of Akhirat, the adab that awaits him. That is all shown to him. Why will his soul want to depart? That kind of a person doesn't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That kind of a person dislikes meeting Allah. And in turn Allah also dislikes meeting him. Therefore we find at that time there's a tussle, respected friends and elders. Quran also speaks of this. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ. If only you see that condition when the zalims and the oppressors and the sinners are in the throes of death. Then what happens at that time? Because the soul is refusing to come out. The malaika want to snatch it out, and the soul doesn't want to come or doesn't want to leave the body. The malaika begin to hit him and beat him, basitu aidihim, telling him, akhriju anfusakum, allow your soul to come out. That soul doesn't want to leave. Why? He has become so comfortable in this dunya. He has worked all his life only for this dunya. He doesn't want to leave the world. And he can see where he's going. He's going to the akhirah, to adab, to punishment, to jahannam. Naturally, that soul doesn't want to leave, respected friends and others. A simple example, we take our children to the park or some place of amusement. You spend an hour, two, or a couple of hours. The time now comes to leave. What the child tells us? No child, as soon as you announce time to leave, no child obediently gets up, leaves his rides and his play and amusement and comes running out. There's always a try, one more chance, one more ride, little bit more. The child doesn't want to leave. It's so comfortable. That's the playground. Doesn't want to go back home to daily chores and homework and whatever else. He's very comfortable here. And then the time comes when there's a tussle. You gave him one chance, then he wants another chance, and he wants longer. Now the father is pulling one hand, the mother is pulling the other hand, the child is crying and screaming, doesn't want to leave. Respected friends and elders, that is exactly the condition of a person who made this dunya his playground. That person who took his life as a means of play and amusement. It was all about amusing himself and appeasing his soul and his nafs. And the next holiday, and the next car, and the next best device, and the next home, etc. If his life was all about that, if he prepared his dunya so luxurious, now he doesn't want to leave. When the time of death comes, and at that time, respected friends and elders, he is from those people, man kariha liqa Allah, who don't want to meet Allah. Allah also doesn't want to meet them. In other words, Allah will not want to meet them with His mercy, because there's only adab. The wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that awaits them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, respected friends and elders, of pondering over this reality. Daily we have to keep this in front of us. Whatever we have is to be used for akhirat first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorts us in Quran, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Whatever Allah has given you, whether it be wealth, whether it be your time, your free time, whether it be your health, your expertise, your qualifications, whatever field you may be in, you may be a carpenter, a bricklayer, you may be a doctor, you may be an engineer, whatever Allah has given you, use it first to seek your akhirat. After that Allah says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and don't forget your share in the world also. But first, use it to seek your akhirah. It's not only wealth that you will use. No, the expertise you have, the know-how you have, the ability you have, the time you have, use all of that to seek your akhirah. Some people, alhamdulillah, have this notion that we would like to give a lot of charity, and definitely that is a great avenue of deen. And we should increase. But it's not only your wealth that will build your akhirah. Use your body yourself in ibadat of Allah, out in the path of Allah. Use your free time in the obedience of Allah. Use your expertise also to assist the bondsmen of Allah to build your akhirah. Akhirah should be in front of us, respected friends and elders. Sahaba radiallahu anhum led their lives like that. They always preferred akhirah over dunya. Today it is the other way around, unfortunately. Our dunya must be intact. Our dunya must be sorted out. Then maybe we'll do something for akhirah. No, respected friends and elders. The dunya will never be sorted out. You are never satisfied. Whatever you have is always some other attraction higher than that. No matter who you may be. And even after seemingly achieving it all, after seemingly achieving it all in the dunya, people realize that there's nothing in this. Look at around us in the dunya, people who are millionaires and multi-millionaires and billionaires. People who have reached the top in regards to dunya. How they are taking their own lives. How they are falling into depression. They have it all, so to say. The best of homes. The best of spouses and partners. The best of cars. The best of clothes. The best of lives outwardly. Still they are pareshan. Still there's no chain and sukoon. Because Allah hasn't kept it there, respected friends and elders. Dunya will never be sorted out. No, we have to sort our akhirat. And then Allah will give us that chain and sukoon. Sorting out your dunya, being set in the world like we use the word, is not about the thing you have. It's the condition of the heart. When a man is content, then he is set in this dunya. Otherwise, he is never set. He's always chasing and chasing and chasing for more and more. And like that, he ends up chasing and leaving this dunya, forgetting his akhirat, respected friends and elders. So many people left the dunya in such a mubarak way. Ulama explained there were some, as they were passing away, they were reciting, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. In other words, we are responding to the call of Allah. We are ready. Like when you're going for Hajj or Umrah, we recite Labbaik. Voluntarily we are going and we say Labbaik. Here he is dying and he's saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki rahimahullah passed away a few years in our country. Great alim from Makkah Mukarrama. Those who were present in Marisburg, good Hazrat, before passing away, say that his last words were, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. These are words that will be told to people in Jannah. After reaching Jannah, here it was coming out of his mouth before leaving this dunya. There was one senior alim in Bangladesh. I met his khadim. His khadim had mentioned that Hazrat was a very senior student of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahimahullah. And he became ill at the end of his life. He was in hospital for a few weeks. He was unable to speak for the last 2 weeks of his life. He was unable to speak. They say moments before he passed away, his khadim who was there says, moments before he passed away, he was on the bed a bit upright. All of a sudden he began to make the dhikr of Allah. He began to say, Allah, Allah. Like we are aware, some people and some Sufis, when they make dhikr of Allah, they move their head towards the heart. They tilt the head. So each time he was tilting his head, Allah, Allah. And then the last time he said, Allah. And he never lifted his head after. He passed away like that. That was his last words. In this day and age, respected friends and elders, we can get a moat like that. We can get a death like that if we work for it throughout our lives. If we work for it throughout our lives, Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us life. We still have life. No matter what happened in the past, we can make a change, respected friends and elders. We can turn a new page in our lives. These nights, like tonight, which could be Laylatul Qadr, are there exactly for that reason, for us to make a change, for us to turn a new page in our lives, for us to make tawbah and shun all sin, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make a firm pledge that from now on, I'm living not for, and I'm earning, and I'm leaving my home every morning and returning every evening, not for the next holiday, and not to earn to build another house, and not to pay off another car. I'm living every day for my akhirah. I'm living every day to prepare for that last moment before I leave this dunya. Respected friends and elders, that's how Allah has kept the system in this dunya. That's how Allah has kept the system. You may get a few exceptions along the way. A hadith mentioned that sometimes there may be a person who led a life of sin. Along the way, he did some good which Allah loved. And at the end of his life, Allah gave him tawfiq. This is an exceptional case. Allah gives tawfiq and he makes tawbah and he passes away and goes to Jannah. But generally, by and large, how you will lead your life in this dunya is how we will leave the dunya. And how we leave is how we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. The time is now, respected friends and elders, for us to prepare. Deenul Islam is so beautiful. So much of exhortations, so much of reminders from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's all about the hereafter. It's all about the hereafter. Not about this dunya. We are fortunate that we have all of these guidelines in Quran and Hadith. Many people out there in the world, respected friends and elders, spend their whole lives trying to figure out the purpose of their existence. And they die also in confusion, not knowing what was the purpose of their existence. Allah has given it to us. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ Allah is the one who created this system of life and death. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا To test you that who among you is best in his action. Not best in his earning. Not best in his clothes. Not best in his appearance and home and qualification, etc. No, respected friends and elders. His a'mal that he will take with him. When we leave this dunya, whatever we acquired here, whatever we built here, whatever we amassed here, remains here. That wealth that we amassed and we spent in the path of Allah, that is gone to Allah. But if we left it here, then it remained here. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ When Allah speaks about Qiyamah, Allah says at that time, every soul will realize, every soul will see what it sent forth and what it left behind. There are things we're going to be leaving behind, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمَ مَالِي مَالِي Man says, my wealth, my wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you really have any wealth? You got no wealth besides what you finish consume. What you wore, مَا لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْكَ What you wore and became old, that was yours. What you never wore and you got in the wardrobe is not yours, it's somebody else's. What you spent and sent forth in the akhirat is yours. What you earned but you left behind is not yours, it's gone to somebody else. So Allah has given us life, respected friends and elders. Allah has given us resources. Let us use it for akhirat. Let us use it to build our akhirah. Otherwise, whatever else we will leave will remain here. When a man closes his eyes and leaves this dunya, he will see whatever he sent forth, alhamdulillah. If a man got tawfiq in this dunya and he prepared for akhirat, when he closes his eyes, he will definitely see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ Whoever does any good, equal to an atom also. A minute amount of good, يَرَهُ He will see it in the akhirah. And if a person does a small amount of bad also, and shar and evil, when he closes his eyes, he will see it will be there in the akhirah. So one is for us to prepare for death by leading a life of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fulfilling the commands of Allah, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our 5 daily salat, bare minimum, imagine 5 daily salat, it is farz. How much of the ummah is fulfilling this, respected friends and elders? There is so much, alhamdulillah, of an environment, so much of effort taking place. But how many of us are reading 5 daily salat on time with jamaat in the masjid as is ideal? And then together with that, all the other commands of Allah, the other prohibitions of Allah, how many of us are abstaining? Thereafter, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of the sunnah is in our life? These are the things that are going to help us in the akhirah. Recently, I went with the family out. They wanted to purchase something. But en route, we decided to visit one of my close relatives. And we thought it's going to be a short stop. But we ended up spending a few hours there by this relative of mine. And then by the time we finished, we had to come back home. It was close to Asr time and then it's iftar. So as we're stepping into the house, my children are saying, you know, we never got a chance to go and buy what we wanted to buy. So I told them, inshallah, when you go to the akhirat, this what we did now, sitting for 2 or 3 hours visiting your family, is an act of ibadah. When you die and go, forget that if you went and shopped, you won't find that in the akhirat. If you went and bought the shoe you wanted or the whatever item you wanted, you won't see it in akhirat. This what we did, alhamdulillah, when we close our eyes, we'll see. This is our earning. This is what we're supposed to be preferring. Not the items of the dunya, respected friends and elders. All that is going to remain here. So one form of preparation is for us to engage in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to adopt the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah Allah give us the tawfiq that when death comes to us, we're reciting shahada la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Thereafter, respected friends and elders, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to us such a beautiful prescription: إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ إِنْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ When man passes away, when a man dies, all his actions come to an end. Whatever you are supposed to do, do it now. There is no better time like the present, respected friends and elders. So whatever you are doing, whatever a man is engaged in, when he dies, when he closes his eyes, everything comes to an end. Illa min thalath. But for three. In other words, our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, affords us an opportunity of accruing rewards even after we have left this dunya. Every other investment scheme in the world will give you your returns as long as you are alive. And once you are dead, the returns are not going to benefit you, not going to come to you, it's finished. But in deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this opportunity of making such investments that even after we are gone, we are long gone, we can still get the returns in the akhirah. One is, on one hand, you read salat. That salat, you get the reward. Khalas, when you die, it's finished. You went for hajj, mashallah. You finished the hajj, you passed away, you got the reward for it. But in Sharia, there are three things. If we engage in, we can continue getting reward after we have left the dunya as well. Illa min thalath. Min sadaqatin jariyatin. Number one, sadaqa jariya. Sadaqah jariyah, charity, perpetual charity, like we call it. Charity that will continue and last by supporting such an initiative that will continue after we are gone. Somebody wants, there is a building, there is a masjid that is being built, there is a madrasa that needs, for example, bricks or tiles or carpet, there is an area where people need water and there is a need for well, for digging a well. You contributed towards that cause. You contributed financially to something which will continue after you have left this dunya. That is one way in which we can invest while we are alive, but continue to generate the rewards even after we are gone from this dunya. Sadaqah jariyah. Many people, alhamdulillah, have this habit. We should actually take this more seriously. Like we save up for holidays, like we save up for the dunya, like we save up for things of this world that we want to acquire, and definitely we may have some needs that we are saving for, and we should continue saving towards it. Similarly, we should make a saving for sadaqah jariyah. I've got one friend who mentioned that we have a tin in the home, that money tin, which was so common when we were growing up. He says, now we have money boxes in the homes, not for the children to save and then spend. No, for them to save, so that when they go for umrah, they can give it out as charity. That's the maqsad for which he has the money box. So like that, have a money box in the house. Have some form of savings where yearly or every now and then you take that money out and you contribute towards a cause that is going to last. Like I said, the construction of a masjid, carpeting of the masjid, and like we discussed last night, respected friends and elders, contributing towards the knowledge of deen. You sponsored a student of deen. You sponsored a student for his hifz. He started his hifz and he became a hafiz of Quran. Long after we are gone, he's reciting Quran, we are getting the reward. He would have taught somebody else Quran, we will get the reward. You sponsored a student, even in the maktab, to learn the basics of deen. We may have passed away, yet the child now grows up and is reading salat and is practicing upon whatever he was taught, we will get the reward. You sponsored a student to become an alim of deen. Long after we are gone, he is practicing on that ilm. He is imparting that ilm. He is inspiring so many others. And then his students are passing it on. And then they are passing it on. It's never-ending reward, respected friends and elders. Sadaqah jariyah is a lifeline Allah has given us. It's a great opportunity, respected friends and elders, if only we realize. When we do realize, it might be too late. When we go to the akhirah and we see the rewards for this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has gracefully advised us. He's done us a great, great favor by explaining to us that before you leave, lead your life as an upright Muslim, but make such preparations that even after you are gone, after you retire for good, this returns will come. In this dunya, everybody works for their retirement and they are preparing for the retirement schemes, etc. This is a scheme, respected friends and elders, for continuous returns after we retire for good. When a man is contributing towards his retirement and pension fund, then it's only going to pay him after he retires in this world till he dies, then it ends. This pension scheme, so to say, this retirement scheme that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affords us, will actually start after we retire for good and will never end. Will never end till Qiyamah. So the first way was sadaqah jariyah. Number two, or ilmin yuntafa'u bihi, or knowledge which is beneficial. Knowledge from which people benefit. You heard something, you learned something, you taught it to somebody else. You taught it in the home, you heard something in the bayan, You went home and you shared it with your family, your wife, your children. Somebody took it to heart. And they started making amal, mashallah. Maybe we predeceased them. But they are making amal on this. We will get the reward for that. You pass some message on, or you pass some hadith on to a fellow Muslim. You were sitting in ta'aleem, for example. You were reading the Fazali Amal. And by you reading that hadith, the brother heard that hadith. It generated the shauq. It generated the enthusiasm in him, for example, to recite Quran. And through that he begins to read Quran and you get the reward. Like that you learn some new sunnah, you learn the dua, and you engage in ta'aleem and ta'allum, learning and teaching with your fellow Muslims. Long after you are gone, that person is practicing, respected friends and elders, the reward is coming to you. And thirdly, أَوْ وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُو لَهُ. And a pious son or pious child who will make dua for him. This is also a form of sadaqah jariyah, to leave behind pious children. One riwayat mentions, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَتُرْفَعُ لَهُ الدَّرَجَةِ. A man, after he leaves his dunya, sometimes it may happen that a person's rank is raised. So he will say, Ya Rabbi, anna li hadha? How did I get this rank? I know I never did a'mal that warrant such a high level, such a high rank in the court of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, bi istighfari waladika laka min ba'dik. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is by virtue of your children making dua and maghfirat for you after you left the dunya. This is by virtue of them making istighfar on your behalf and making dua for your forgiveness that I have given you this rank. Waladun salih, a pious child, respected friends and elders, is an asset for us whilst we are alive. They will not abandon us in this dunya. They will care for us. They will fulfill our rights. And after we have left this dunya, inshallah, they will still be an asset to us. And this is a form of sadaqah jariyah for us. So now, respected friends and elders, tonight is a night for us to make a decision. Make a decision of change in our lives. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Turn to Allah in repentance. And let's turn a new page in our own life. And let us now make our motto, make our aim and goal in life to work for akhirah. By firstly fulfilling the commands of Allah and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that pertain to us. And secondly, by practicing on this hadith that gives us this great investment scheme, this great retirement fund, which will continue perpetually, inshallah, to benefit us after we have left this dunya. Let us engage in sadaqah jariyah. Let us increase our sadaqah. Let us also engage in learning and teaching the knowledge of deen, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I always say, let us start in the home. We come to the masjid frequently. We listen to the talks of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what about those in the home? We, the father of the house, you are the leader, you are the head of the home. You should be taking this back to the house as well. Like you take money back and you take your earnings back home. Like you take sustenance and risk and food into the home. Take the spiritual food also. It is also your duty to take this into the house and share it in the home. عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. Teach your children, respected friends and elders, the knowledge of deen. Teach them what you have learned. Inshallah, automatically we will achieve the third one. وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. A pious child who, after we have left this dunya, will also be an asset for us. They will not forget us. They will make dua for us. They will make isalu thawab for us. And inshallah, then we will achieve the high ranks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq of understanding that the reason for which we have come in this dunya is to leave this dunya. And may Allah give us tawfiq of all preparing for that last moment, respected friends and elders. And Allah make us from those who, man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a. Allah make us from those who love to meet Allah and whom Allah is pleased to meet. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, at the end of his life, he made this dua. And he said, Allahumma inni ahbabtu liqa'ak, fa'ahbib liqa'i. Oh Allah, now I've reached the stage that I am happy and I am pleased to come and meet you. Oh Allah, I beg you to be happy to meet me. And they say very soon thereafter he became ill. His illness intensified and he passed away. Allah give us mood like that as well. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهُ يَا رَبِّ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ دَائِمًا أَبَدًا عَلَى حَبِيبِكَ خَيْرِ الْخَلْقِ كُلِّهِمْ اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد مفتاح خزائن رحمتك اللهم افتح لنا بسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أغلق علينا من خير الدنيا والآخرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. ربنا ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا اجعلنا مقيمين للصلاة ومن ذريتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رحمتك يا رحمة.